And I'd like to invite up our district superintendent to introduce our bishop.
As a district superintendent, I have the privilege of traveling to and meeting with many congregations. We always open these meetings with, "And I bring you greetings from Bishop Tracy S. Malone." That's the formula. It's not rote. I have the privilege and blessing of being able to say to those churches, "Did you know that Bishop Malone prays for you? Did you know that Bishop Malone loves you? Did you know that Bishop Malone cares about what is happening in this church? How you're following Jesus matters to her." I'm not sure that district superintendents around the nation get to say things like that. But I can say that because I've seen Bishop Malone's practice of prayer. You should know that you have been prayed for since Bishop Malone arrived here. This church matters to her. You have been loved by her since she arrived here, because Bishop Malone loves what God loves, and Bishop Malone loves who God loves. That's her nature. That's the privilege of getting to work with Bishop Malone. You see a heart of passion and compassion for God's people. It just flows out of her naturally, and it never stops. The second thing I would like to tell you about Bishop Malone is that she is a person who has a deep, deep passion for the Word of God, the living Word of God. Scripture for Bishop Malone is not words written on a page, but God speaking, revealing, loving, leading people. I've been a pastor a long time. There have been times I've preached great sermons where everybody was involved and the Spirit was moving and it was great. And there have been other Sundays where it wasn't so great. I was like Casey at bat, and I missed. In 5.5 years of watching Bishop Malone, I have yet to see her miss. You are in for a treat, because this morning, our bishop is bringing the living Word of God.
Thank you. Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
I want to thank District Superintendent, the Reverend Bruce Hitchcock, for that wonderful introduction. And I also want to say thank you to Pastor Dave and Pastor Hannah for the invitation to be here and celebrate with you as we consecrate and celebrate this new building, to celebrate your stewardship, your generosity of doing God's faithful work. I thank you for your leadership. The United Methodist Church, the East Ohio Conference, your bishop, we are blessed for your leadership. Let the people of God praise God. I invite you to stand, if you are able, for the reading of the gospel, which is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Hear these words. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He then said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And then Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I invite you to pray with me as we reflect together in these next few moments on the theme, believing well. Believing well. Let us pray. Lord God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week on Resurrection Sunday on Easter, we reflected on the story of how Mary arrived at the tomb and discovered that the tomb was empty, that the stone that had covered the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. And while she was standing there at the tomb, she was weeping, and Jesus appeared to Mary. And he said, "Why are you crying? What are you looking for?" He says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." He says, "I want you to go to my brothers and my sisters and tell them that I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary, she went running and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them everything that he had said to her. Now you would think that the disciples would be celebrating this good news. And yet, Mary's testimony, as personal and powerful as it was still not enough to relieve the disciples of their fear. In our text today, we see the response of the disciples to Mary's testimony. Now, whenever this text is read, it is very common to only focus on Thomas, to focus on his doubts, to focus on his confession of faith. Whenever this text is preached, most often it's all about Thomas. But if we examine this text a little closer, his story is also the disciples' story. His story is also our story. It is a story of belief and unbelief. and how the gift of the Holy Spirit gives us grace to follow Christ, gives us grace to do the ministry of Christ, the ministry of love, the ministry of compassion, the ministry of mercy, the ministry of justice, even when we are feeling conflicted. It speaks to how the power of the Holy Spirit gives us grace, even when we find ourselves living with contradictions. On the evening of the same day, the disciples were gathered together and they were behind locked doors. They were paralyzed by fear. They were afraid of the Jewish authorities. They were afraid for their lives, for their futures. Many of us, we would be right at home with them. We too would be afraid. Because if we are honest, we all have our fears and anxieties about situations and circumstances in our lives, especially those things that we have no control over, especially those times when we don't know what the outcome of the situation or the circumstance will bring. The social and political environment we're living in, it creates uncertainty and fear if we are honest. The prevalence of gun violence, the prevalence of racial violence, the prevalence of drug addiction claiming lives and tearing families and communities apart, the growing numbers of persons, especially children and seniors and veterans, who are living in poverty. If truth be told, we all suffer the trauma and have fear and uncertainty. The divisive rhetoric that perpetuates hate, in the increased political expediency that widens the gaps between the haves and the have-nots, whether we realize it or not, or are willing to admit it or not, we live in a constant state of anxiety, of fear. In the midst of the disciples' fear, hear this good news. Jesus came and he stood among them. He showed up and he did not show up to confront them for how they abandoned him at the cross. No, he did not. Jesus showed up not to ridicule or shame them for hiding behind locked doors in fear. He showed up to comfort them, to give them peace. Jesus says, peace be with you. Let not your hearts be troubled and let them not be afraid. Jesus' greeting is a blessing of shalom, not just a quick feel-good moment or not just a quick don't worry about it moment. No, Jesus knew that they needed much more, something deeper, a deeper kind of peace. They needed comfort. They needed to be in a space where they can ask the things that burden their hearts. They needed to be in the kind of space that they didn't have to act like everything was all right, where they didn't have to wear a mask and push down their feelings. He provided them space to open up and to speak their fear. Jesus offered them a deep kind of peace, a kind of peace that the world cannot give, a kind of peace that material things can't even cover, a kind of peace that no matter what your position is or privilege is or even your love relationships and how we're surrounded, nobody can give this kind of peace that only Christ can give. In John 16, verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That is good news, friends. Hear that again. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That is who Jesus is. That is what Jesus does. He meets us where we are, in the face of our fear, in the face of our doubt, in the face of our uncertainties. He says, come to me, all of you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give thee rest. Hear the promise. He says, if you seek me, you shall find me. If you search for me with your whole heart. He shows them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, the scripture says what? They were filled with joy. But notice that the disciples saw Jesus and they responded to the presence with Jesus with joy. But even after he showed them his hands and his side, the lesson is that they were still behind the closed doors. Because believing is a process. Believing well is a process. Believing deep is a process. It's a lifelong process. It takes time to mature in our faith. In every personal encounter with Jesus, every prayer we pray, every trial we go through, every step of faith we take brings us ever closer into a deeper relationship with Jesus. We can rely on the sufficiency of God's grace. The disciples proclaimed the Easter message. We have seen the Lord, but yet they're still behind the locked doors. The Word of God reminds us it's a journey of ever reaching for Christ, ever striving to know Christ more deeply. We are on a journey and we do it together. Thank God I ain't what I used to be. Thank God I'm not yet what I shall be, but I am on a journey. Now we know only in part, then we shall know more fully. Even as we are more fully known, it's a journey. Thanks be to God that Jesus keeps coming to us, never giving up on us. And as he comes to them, even again, what does he do? He speaks a blessing and says, peace be with you. Then he bestows his power on them. He says, I am sending you. He breathed on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. We have to be open and willing to surrender that we might receive the power of God's Spirit, that it might take up residence in our lives. He breathed on them. And then he gave them power to heal and to deliver and to set people free from their bondage, from their pain. He says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven. When you think about it, Jesus has bestowed power. Oh, how it is to be able to trust in Jesus and to be thankful for entrusting us with the power to heal and to bless, to serve, to offer the good news of Jesus, to share our own personal testimonies. Sometimes we don't know when it's going to take root. But if we keep believing and keep telling and keep going and keep serving and keep loving, people will come to know God's saving love and purpose for their lives. Jesus commissioned the disciples to be living witnesses. Romans 10:14 says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone who will tell them? Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't there. in that upper room at the time when Jesus appeared. And Thomas, he hears the same proclamation from the disciples that the disciples heard from Mary. Thomas said, "Unless I can see the nail marks in his hands, unless I can put my finger in his side, I won't believe." Thomas is only asking for what the others had the opportunity to experience. So often, Thomas gets a bad rap. He is the only one in Scripture that is assigned an adjective before his name, Doubting Thomas. But yet, a week later, when the disciples were again in the house, and this time, Thomas was with them, and again this time, the doors were still locked. Jesus entered, and he stood among them, and he blessed them again with a peace blessing. You see, friends, Jesus desires for us to have deep peace. He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be well in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirit. That's what he wants for us. And he's willing to meet us wherever we are, wherever we're stuck, wherever we're doubting, wherever we're hurt, wherever we're grieving, wherever we're in anxiety and despair. He wants us to be well. What does he do? He turns to Thomas and he said, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side." He says, "Stop doubting and believe." Jesus made space for his doubts and his disbelief. And he met him where he was. He gave him what he needed. He told Mary, "Don't hold on to me. I want you to go." But yet in that moment, he let Thomas hold on to him. He let him touch his hands. He let him put his hand in his side. And what does Thomas do? He says, "My Lord and my God." That is Thomas's confession. And it does speak to his belief in that moment with Jesus. But that is not the whole story. That confession does not complete his faith. That was a moment. That was him reaching out for Christ. Faith is a journey. Thomas is leaning into his faith. I dare to say that Thomas is not a doubter. I dare to say that Thomas is not even a questioner. I would say he's more of a realist. Thomas had a way of putting into words what others were feeling, and he had the courage to ask for what he needed. You see, my beloved, silent faith rarely finds answers to the needs of our lives. Praise God for people like Thomas that give us permission to ask the critical questions of faith. Thanks be to God for Thomas that allows for us to believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. There is space, and Jesus meets us in that space. But just know that doubting and questioning, they don't have to be a permanent condition. The presence of Christ, us allowing the Holy Spirit to take up residence in our lives, us receiving the power and trusting in our own testimonies one moment at a time, one day at a time, one trial at a time, one experience at a time, our witness becomes a powerful witness to the power of our resurrected Lord. The theologian Frederick Buechner, he says this: "It is not the power of the empty tomb that convinces us of the resurrection. It is the power of Christ's presence in our empty lives that gives us and convinces us of the power of the resurrection. Too often, the church can be guilty of judging people who have questions and doubts, but Jesus does not rebuke Thomas, but he responds to him with a blessing. He shows up, and Jesus always shows up. No matter where you are this morning, no matter what your need is this morning, no matter what questions you have this morning, no matter what your anxiety that you are bearing this morning, no matter what you might be struggling with this morning, know that we serve a resurrected Lord that always shows up. In his power, in his grace, in his love, in his compassion, they transcend locked doors. They transcend the faint of heart. They transcend even the uncertainty of our mind and our spirit. Jesus is always abiding with us, never ridiculing us, but always saying, come, come, all who have need. No matter what you carry, I want you to come, because I want to loose you. I want to free you from that which binds you, because I need you, he says. I need your testimony, and I need your witness, so that you can go and tell the good news. So touch me if you need to touch me. Put your hand in my hand if you need to touch my hand. Touch my side if you need to touch my side. Whatever you need in attaching yourself to my word, to attaching to me in prayer, to attaching to me as you serve, whatever you need, because I need you, because I got work for you. And even in your work, as you worship, and as we consecrate this new building, that is even more evidence that God's got more work for you to do. So friends, remember, believing well and believing deep is a journey. We never quite get there, but we are always pressing toward that higher mark of our calling in Christ Jesus. And Jesus meets us where we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.